And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May 8th, 2021, Season 15, Episode 16. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 272-9228 is the number. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us at Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type in game chat. You'll find us, you know, get to watch us live while we broadcast. And you can participate in the chat room that we have set up as well. Oh, chat rooms. But, yeah, it's all there for you. And I don't sound as bad as I did this morning. I got sick over the week. I came down with a head cold over the week.
What'd you get? What'd you take for it?
I just, you know, whatever the generic Alka-Seltzer, the store brand Alka-Seltzer cold, you know, just a bunch of that with nasal spray and stuff. It's actually cleared up a lot better than I thought it would, given the week that I've had, and given the week that we've had. just to get into that, it was last Saturday we were running back and forth for storms and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've had my first Thar 66 says, hey, you guys are vaccinated. We've had our first shot. I don't know about you. You've had your first shot, right? Mm. Oh, you haven't had your shot at all. Okay. Had the first shot, got sick afterwards. I got to get the second shot, and that is coming up not next Friday, but the Friday after next. So the 21st, I think, is when it is. 21st or 22nd is when we'll get the next shot. And basically, because I got sick after that first one, we're planning on not doing a show because I did get sick. I'm going to have everything in preparation just in case. I'm going to prepare in the event that we are not doing one on that weekend. But it all depends on how it goes when I wake up the next morning. Because when I woke up the next morning after my first one, I could tell something was up. And that was on a Thursday, though, so I could tell it was on a Friday. And I could tell something was up. But then the next day, I was fine. And, of course, that's when I came in, did the show, and that's when we had the bad weather. When was it? I can't remember when it was. Yeah, that's when the second one's coming up. But it's been a week. I just got a head cold this week. I started feeling bad on Monday, and then Tuesday I came home early, or somewhat, and kind of laid down and rest, but that did not last very long, because on Tuesday we had some storms come through, and we took some damage at the house. That's the house I grew up in. This house, you know. My parents passed away, and I just stayed in the house. And I've been there. It's the same house I've been in since 1978. The house has probably been there since 1976. I don't know. And then, because my parents moved into it before I was born, if I remember right. But I've been in that house since 1978, and I've never had we've had limbs and stuff in the yard. Mm-hmm. But we've never taken damage. We've never had damage. I've had damage from hail, but never from, like, strong, heavy winds, tornadoes, stuff like that. Never had anything happen like that until this week. We even back in 2008, and you'll remember this probably, 2008, Prattville got hit with a huge tornado. Yeah. And there was tons of damage in the neighborhood. I mean, tons of it. My house, nothing. In fact, my block, there was nothing. But if you walked one block over, it was very war zone-esque. And the further you walked down that street and into other streets, it was, you know, it was bad. It was really bad. I mean, people had no homes. You could see through people's homes because the holes that were made were that big.
So you saw where the swath hit.
Oh, yeah, you could easily see it. But I had no damage. I had nothing. Mm-hmm. If you remember James, they had damage at their place. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this is the first time we've ever taken damage. And so we're sitting there watching the weather. And I got the radio on my phone, and I've got it up on TV just looking at it just, because it was just, let's see what this is going to do. Because it was like, we're expecting some bad weather. None of us, I think, were expecting anything like what we got. And for the most part, nobody else got this. There's a guy named Brian H. who calls in during the week. He's actually my mail carrier, so he goes around the neighborhood. And I asked him, I was like, oh, how bad's the rest of the neighborhood? He's like, you got hit the worst. You know, not my street, not, you know, my block, me, mm-hmm. just the house. It got hit the worst. We're just sitting there watching the weather, and the wind picks up. And I think, Wendy, you went to the I'm just going to turn your mic on so you can tell your story. You went to the living room there where the French doors were, and we're watching it as it happened, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I stayed in the bedroom because I was like, the wind's up and everything else. And then you heard the wind really pick up. And what it sounded like was like leaves and limbs and things like that just slapping against whatever. But what was actually happening was the tin roof of the awning that covers the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 12 feet wide or more and 40 feet long was being lifted from the scaffolding or from the braces and everything else that holds it up top. It was being lifted off of that. Bolts were coming off. They were all just flying off. And then shingles started coming off of the roof and all this other stuff because of the way it was attached to the roof. It was all into the roof. You know, it had to make it flush with everything else. And again, this thing has been here since 1978 or more. Mm-hmm. It has never been replaced, never been refurbished. Nothing has ever been done to it. It has stood strong for that many years, 40 some odd years, and this thing just lifted off from the right, if you're facing the house, from the right side of the house all the way to the left going towards the, I live on a corner lot, so it started where the corner was and was flying into the neighbor's yard. How it didn't get lifted off of there and then slam onto our cars, how it didn't fly into the backyard and hurt somebody else or hurt animals or hurt or even hit somebody else's house. It didn't. It flew across. It knocked over one of our attic vents. Everybody I've talked to about them call them whirlybirds.
Yeah.
They look like little mushroom caps on top of your house. It knocked one of those off, which left a hole in the roof because there's a hole there to vent the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, boom, hole, rain coming down. Knocked that off, but then missed the other one where the massive part of it was flying off. It folded it in half. Probably when it landed, it folded in half. But as it flew, it skipped the wires that connect from the telephone pole to our house, knocked the neighbor's wires. Didn't even disconnect it from what I understand, but it pulled the where those wires are connected to the meter on the side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that bar right there, it detached it from their house, bent it completely. The cable's strong, very, very strong. Anyway, knocked them off, folded in half as it landed in their yard and stayed put. So in the meantime, we've got a hole in the attic. We got to figure out what to do. I'm sick. I am not feeling well at all, but of course we got to figure this thing out. So I'm trying to go outside and see where this thing ended up. Like, is anybody hurt? Is there a car that is wrapped around? Is it wrapped? I mean, what's going on? And we can't find it until and it's hard to, again, you've got a lot of rain and a lot of wind and a lot of lightning going on. And we really were trying to figure out where this thing went. And so we're looking and we finally see, okay, it's in the neighbor's yard. It's not going anywhere. What else has happened? We realize that out in the yard or out in the street actually is that topper for the roof thing. Mm-hmm. And it's all bent up and damaged. And so, okay, we've got a problem with the roof, probably got a hole. So we're finally able to maneuver some stuff together so I can step up and open up the attic. I have a crawl space. I don't have an attic. Mm-hmm. I have a crawl space up top.
Yeah.
I don't have a basement. I have a crawl space in the attic. And there's no way to get into the attic unless you've got chairs and other things stacked on top of it or something so that you can reach the top and then pull yourself in. Mm-hmm. Or have a ladder if you've got something like that, which I didn't. Mm-hmm. The only ladder I had was not going to be one that you could bring into the house and didn't bend.
Yeah, I think I'm familiar with the type you're talking about. It's like there's no ladder that pulls down or anything like that.
There was nothing like that. Yeah, it's just a panel. You move the panel out and then you can get up there.
Your Warner ladder's not going to fit in there. Yeah. You need like basically a long step ladder.
Which is what we got, but that's not what we had. We had a very long, regular ladder, you know, mm-hmm. that you'd lean up against a house and crawl up it. But this couldn't fit inside the house, so, I checked on the neighbors. Once the rain had died down, there was another band that was going to come through, and so I went and checked on the neighbors to make sure they were okay, and then I asked, you got a ladder? And he didn't have one, so I went across the street and I asked a longtime neighbor of ours, been there as long as we've been there. Mm-hmm. Asked her if she had one, and she said, you can check in the back. And she did. She had a foldable or an A-frame type 9-foot ladder probably. And it was perfect for what we needed. Mm. So
it's going to invest in one.
Well, not going to invest in one. I'm getting one. My family's going to be giving me one.
Okay.
They've got one that they don't use, and it's this bendable, foldable ladder thing. Mm. And so they're going to bring that to us. But
send me a picture of that, because I might have to invest one for my folks anyway.
A picture of what?
That's
the ladder that we're so then we got the ladder and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do, because they don't want me getting up on the roof with the wind and the rain and the lightning and everything else.
And that sounds like a bad idea.
It does, but I couldn't figure out. But I had to close up the hole, otherwise it's going to get rain inside the attic, and then we're going to have worse damage. You know, mm-hmm. Even more damage or whatever might happen. And so I'm trying to figure out. And the only thing I can figure out, because I don't have the only ladder I have is one that'll get me on the roof. That's it. So when I finally got that other ladder, it's like, okay, what do we plug it with? We got the shower curtain liner down and we shoved it up into the hole there and tried to get it all positioned so that it wouldn't. So number one, the wind wouldn't blow it away. And number two, rain wouldn't get in. Mm-hmm. So got that done. And then, morning came and it held up well. Got the roof patched, but there's still, like, I just now got the debris out of the neighbor's yard yesterday. Mm-hmm. Thanks to listener Dennis, who called in on Friday morning because I asked for help. Mm-hmm. And he came by and helped. So thank you so much, Dennis, for doing that. And got that out of the yard and, you know, filing the insurance claims, doing all that stuff that I got to do.
Right.
Because there's a lot of damage. This is the first time. First time I ever had damage.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff. So, yeah, it was
1978, and that strong wind just yanked it off. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. It was something.
All it needs is a little leeway. So just when the tin roof pulled up, the rest of it went with it.
But I got to figure, I've had stronger winds than that before.
Well, you didn't have that leeway then.
I don't know that gap
to get in.
I don't know. I mean, here I am saying this. I probably shouldn't be like, yeah, it happened all the time, Mr. Insurance Man. Because I don't want them to think that this was something just freak. But, yeah, no, it's bad. It was bad. Let me do this real quick because I forgot. And there we go, starting the show. So that's the kind of the week I've had. Oh, well, didn't even mention that. So it knocked their power out. And this was like at 6:30, 6:45 at night when this happened.
Right.
It felt much later. But I know why it felt much later. just because I was sick and everything else, but it felt much later than that. And so finally we were able to go to sleep or at least get in bed. And here it is. We still have power, amazingly enough. You know, mm-hmm. through all of that, we still have power. Neighbors don't, mm-hmm. but we still have power. And by around 10:30 or so, we started hearing the pops. You know, the power would go off and then come back on, but you were hearing these loud pops outside. Mm-hmm. And as I went to the window to see what was going on, I could see the light. Every time you'd hear a pop or the flash, you know, you would see something going on outside. Eventually, the fuse blew right there at the pole. So at 10:30 that night, Tuesday night, our power goes out. Mm-hmm. Thursday morning at 9 a.m., it comes back on. But that was, that was Tuesday night, all day Wednesday, and Wednesday night. And then finally, we got power back. Mm-hmm. So then, it was a hell of a week.
Yeah.
It was really just a week. Ugh.
Yeah, it was just a luck of draw where you are during those things, man. I mean, we had strong wind and rain for about 20 minutes, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And then my folks in their neighborhood, transformers fell,
mm-hmm.
broke out of there. So the power trucks were all there and mad, trying to fix everything. Like
yeah,
that.
I saw some. I saw some aerial footage, and I heard other people talking about how in certain areas of the city, not this city, but home, Prattville, mm-hmm. There was trees were snapped. You know, there was uprooted. there was a path of the destruction.
Yeah. You saw it.
But there was nothing,
Yeah, I saw a house on the way to Pike Road. There was two trees uprooted, and they perfectly crisscrossed on top of this house on a back road somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a mess out there.
It was...
I'm surprised the house wasn't destroyed, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised. We were all surprised that there wasn't more damage than what we got.
Yeah.
Because that thing, I don't know, we tried to lift it, and obviously it was all connected and heavy and everything else. I mean, how wind could do that is amazing to me, that it could just snap that stuff off. Just amazing
wind,
how that works.
Strong enough wind can push little pieces of wood through your house.
No, I know the effects of wind. I mean, God, we know where we live.
Yeah.
Tornado Alley type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have a season for tornadoes, for God's sakes. Yeah. We had a tree fall in the back, fell on the privacy fence around the pool, had mm-hmm. a tree fall there. Oddly enough, Wednesday when I went home, I left here early because I wanted to assess the damage again, meet with the roofer if I could to talk with him about, getting an estimate and getting the patch done. He came way earlier than I thought, which was great. I'm glad he was able to do that. And started the cleaning or whatever needed to be done. And also try and get some rest because I was still feeling miserable.
Yeah.
I was still sick. And
I'm still thinking about your vent on the roof because you said the house is... been there since 76.
Yeah.
Got a
77. Replacement. Oh, those got replaced.
Okay.
I mean, those, because I got a new roof back in, 2013 maybe, or 2003. I can't remember. I got a roof a long time ago. I got a brand new roof. And so, which looks like I'll be getting another one this time. But, things have been done there before that. I'm just saying that metal awning, though, mm-hmm. nothing's ever been done to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just survived and now gone now. So, it was scary. It was scary. I think of all the things that could have just shoved through the window while we were sitting there looking or watching or whatever. And I think about, that thing could have landed on any of our cars or landed on, just come right through the house if it wanted to.
I don't know.
It's
completely random at that point. Wind's pushing all over the place. Things
no idea.
Out. No way the wind, no way to know how the wind's going to affect it. Lose it. Use it.
So, it was a scary thing, and obviously everybody's, glad nobody got hurt and that sort of thing, but, mm-hmm. I just think all the ways that could have gone sideways, like really, really bad sideways type stuff, and just what it could have meant. Knocked a hole in the house, then, what do we do with the dogs and us for the night? I don't know. I do not know. That's a... kind of makes me realize we don't have a plan in place for anything. I think about when I walked through the neighborhood the day after the tornado came through,
mm-hmm.
and I remember seeing people's homes completely destroyed. It's like, what was their plan?
Mm-hmm.
What did they then do? Go to a hotel? go to a motel for the night. What did they do with their dogs, with their kids, with their family? What was done? I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, I guess you just figure those things out as you go along. Maybe. I'm not sure. So anyway, we're all okay. It's and things are going to be fine. Started all the process that's got to be started for insurance claims and everything else. So still got a roof over our head. No one was hurt. Everything's fine. So it's good. We got lucky Wednesday, by the way. The property we have has a petroleum pipe that goes through in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And so once every, I don't know how many years, yeah, breaking news right now. I have no idea what's going on. They don't have closed captioning, but mm-hmm. breaking news is going on right now. And mm-hmm. it's local, and I don't know what it is.
Sure, we'll figure it out.
Actually, wait a second. Maybe I can.
Another scene developed a short distance away in the 3,000 block of Tyler Court. Officers exchanged gunfire, they say, with a suspect, and two officers were hit in that gunfire, sustaining what are believed to be non-life-threatening injuries. Again, two Montgomery police officers shot this afternoon, suffering non-life-threatening injuries in the vicinity of Lower Wetumpka Road and Tyler Court. That is just off of North Boulevard. We are awaiting a news conference that Montgomery police are trying to put together right now somewhere near the scene. Our Jerome Jones is there right now, and he is ready to go live when that happens. They're waiting for the chief, we are told. They're waiting for Police Chief Ernest Finley to arrive there at the scene. And when everything gets arranged, we expect the news conference to get underway. When that happens, we hope to bring that news conference to you here live so we can learn more about what is going on. And then we will have a live report for you on Alabama News Network at 6, on CBS 8 and ABC 32. Again, two Montgomery police officers shot in Montgomery this afternoon, suffering non-life-threatening injuries. We're awaiting more information from the scene. For now, I'm Glenn Halbrooks from Alabama News Network. We'll return you now to local programming, and we do have a picture live on our Facebook page if you want to see that right now.
All right. Just so you know, the station is called News Talk, and we get breaking news. I'm gonna throw it on the air if I figure out how to do that. Yeah. So, not really. Whatever it may be, I'm still gonna put it up there. So that's still got that to do.
Yeah.
Is this Chris? Oh, hey, let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I guess you got a situation handled where getting that scrap tin, you know, the roof out of your yard. You know, the guy you talked to during the week earlier.
Yeah, he came by. The guy Friday who called in, he actually stopped by the house. I was there, and all he had to do was, first off, we had to get a crowbar to detach. So where it folded was where you could we could kind of pry that apart from the other side, and then have two mm-hmm. separate pieces. And it allowed us to get to the bolts on both of them, so that he could unscrew that to get it from the rafter type stuff, and so we could take the sheets apart and it not be this 40-foot by 12-foot massive thing sitting in his yard.
Oh, yeah.
Got all that done, put it to the side of the road, and that did not last 24 hours before somebody came along and picked it all up.
Oh, yeah. If it's in good shape and it's any amount of footage, anybody can salvage or use that, they'll come get it easily.
Yeah, and that they did, so... But yeah, I got that straightened out, which I was very, very grateful for. So, which needless to say, because of the power outage, me being sick, and this whole situation, I ain't played much except for today. Yeah. I think I got in all of my playing today from what I missed this week. But yeah, haven't played much. Just Destiny. That's it.
Yeah, I ended up using some of my discount points, you know, and got a coupon, and I ended up buying Returnal at GameStop, and also I got a new copy of Cyberpunk, you know, and I'm going to eventually play it down the road, especially if they give you an upgrade option for the new system and all on PlayStation. So I'll eventually play that too.
How do you like Returnal?
I haven't even got a chance to install it yet, but I've seen gameplay and everything. I said, it's fun. I'm busy playing other things, but I'll eventually jump into it, or I might go ahead and install it today and then play it some. But the gameplay looked really interesting. I said, I'm going to eventually buy this, and I just use some of my points that I had built up and save some money on it and everything. So I said, yeah, what the heck, I'll just go ahead and buy the darn thing.
Yeah.
And they happen to have a used copy that somebody had bought with a system and then traded. You know, it's basically brand new, but they had to open it, you know, and so it was a little cheaper too. So, you know, it hadn't been used, so that was even better.
What is their, okay, so what is their used game price on a game that is already $70?
It's like $5 cheaper. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, game,
I mean,
game
it's not much, but it's better than paying a brand new price for, you know, I'm paying a used price for something that's brand new anyway.
I mean, I get it, yeah.
So basically not as much tax as you would on a new title, basically.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only difference you got in there.
Yeah, and I used my other, I had a $5 discount code for the monthly service, you know, the subscription magazine service and all that, and used some of my points I don't ever spend it on, so I saved some money on it and got some stuff off of it, and eventually down the road I'll probably get into it maybe today or maybe this weekend sometime.
Who you knows? Know, yeah, if that Gamers Club thing was still going on at Best Buy, I probably would have picked up the game because it would have knocked down, you know, it would have knocked it down like $20. Mm-hmm. Would have been 50,
yeah,
instead of 70, something like that, 55 maybe.
Yeah,
I probably would have jumped on that, and then of course I could have returned it afterwards, mm-hmm. And gotten some money back on it. But they don't have that thing going on anymore, so
yeah, they saw the loophole. Mm-hmm.
I really should. I could have pre-ordered it and got it for that discount, but I didn't. Yeah. I wasn't sure that I wanted. I honestly, it wasn't until the week of that game's release that I felt like, ooh, you know, it suddenly appeared on my radar. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I knew what it was, but I watched the reveal of it from what, a year or two ago, last year I think, when they revealed all the different games for the PlayStation 5 or what's coming.
Yeah,
and then they did a couple of more updates with it and showed some new footage, and it still never clicked for me. It wasn't until the week of, and I started watching more gameplay and started getting an idea of how this thing. This is how it works, and realizing, oh, okay, and then that's when I sort of, kind of interested. So
yeah,
I was the same way. I just saw gameplay recently, just before it released or just after it released, and you know, it wasn't on my radar, but it was then, and I said, yeah, I'll just go ahead and get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else? How do you like it?
I don't know. I hadn't popped it in, but okay. I've seen gameplay. Yeah, but it has the same feel like it's a 3D shooter, like, you know, like Undermine on that I've got on the Switch, and I've been playing that, and that's, you know, the similar thing. You know, you either have good runs or you don't have good runs, and then you eventually save up and, you know, get permanent upgrades, and then it just depends on the luck of your draw how well you do. So I've been enjoying that, and I look the looks of this one, so I say, I'll just go ahead and give it a try. It looks fun to me. We'll see.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for calling in. We got to take a break here. I wasn't paying attention to the time when I took your call. So
fine.
We're already at the bottom of the hour here, but I appreciate you calling in, man, and thanks for listening, as always.
Yeah, I figured if y'all hadn't had anybody to help with that roof, I just want to offer to help y'all, but I'm glad you got it.
Oh, dude, I appreciate that, man. I do appreciate that. Yeah, again, I really wasn't sure what I was going to do. I called a couple of places that say free scrap metal removal, but that's not really what they mean.
Of course not.
they mean if you've taken everything apart, sure, we'll come get it. But if it's still all in a big chunk and we got to do the work, then now we're gonna have to charge you. And I guess I understand that. But you know, it's kind of like one of those things where it's here. You can have all of this stuff for free as long as you come get it. You know.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, whatever it takes, go get it. There it is. You know, completely free. Just take it out of that person's yard. I just wanted to get it out of my neighbor's yard. It's been there since Tuesday. It's my thing and somebody else's property. And it's like, I know that if that was in mine, I mean, I'd be completely patient with it. But I'd also be like, I hope they're working on trying to get this out of the yard.
I feel the same way. And I do the same thing you did as well. You know, help them out. And, you know, it's the right thing to do as well. You know, so I agree with you on that one.
Well, take care, buddy. And thanks for calling in, man.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. When we come back, we'll find out what RJ's played. I'll mention a few things that I've done in Destiny just because it's wrapping up the season. New season starts Tuesday. But yeah, and then oh boy, then learned a lot from this whole Epic versus Apple thing.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a whole lot about this about different companies from this thing. It has been it's been fascinating and fantastic, all the different things that we're kind of learning and finding out. Fascinating, and also, you know, a little bit like, you know, head tilter towards some of Epic's decisions, but whatever, it doesn't matter with them, but Sony's decisions, some of what Sony's got going on, very, very interesting. So we'll talk about that as well coming up. We've got music here from, you know, I think it released last week or week before last, and I don't think I used any music from it. Maybe I did R-Type Final 2.
Hmm.
When did that come out? Not too long ago, right?
30th of April. Yeah, 30th of April.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got some music for that here coming up. And, yeah, so we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this.
It's nice how some simple some music sounds really good, even though it's simple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like I tell you with all the 8-bit music creators.
Oh, yeah.
To take that little amount of
they
resources
only have that
and
much
make good
to make,
music
yeah.
out of there.
Yep. Welcome back to the show. And this is music from a game called The Colonists.
Hmm.
I don't know really what it's about. You may have to look that up and see. It looks like it's a, you know, it sounds like it's, it looks like it's just as simple as this sounds.
Hmm. Settlement building game.
Yeah. This track is called Wanderer. So
yeah, some games get away with simplicity, just to make the game fun.
Well, like, you know, Cozy Grove, very simple, actually makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of games like that where it's like, if you can just find a simple concept that somebody can wrap their head around in 5 minutes or less.
Yeah, just execute it well. Yeah.
And you can, and you can still get that hook in them. And good job. And there's a lot of little small games like this that I'm kind of interested in that might do that. It's one of the reasons that I like when we have Brock on, because he finds things
find,
like that.
He tends to find games.
He does. Yeah. He really does. Hey, what have you been playing, RJ?
Not too much. I mean, I've only played a couple of games this week, mostly MLB The Show. Doing a lot of playing against the computer, really, because
I need to play that. I've got it downloaded, and I got into it the other day. I mean, we were killing time,
mm-hmm.
or I was killing time. I won't say why.
Waiting for something?
Stuff and stuff.
No.
Stuff and things, yeah.
I was just killing time, and so I was going through trying to get my settings of how I wanted the, how do you want pitching to work? How do you want batting to work? Do you know? Mm-hmm. Do you want to use the stick with the button and the pitching? I don't know.
Analog pure.
Yeah, there
pure
was
like
three different choices for each of them, and then there was base running,
some
and
four.
I was like, oh God, I can't figure out. So I really need to go back to it and look at it again.
There's plenty of things in that game that'll teach you. They do it every year. Little things that'll teach you every year about how to do everything in the game. You want to pitch. You want to do this. If you want to pitch out, you want to step off the rubber. You want to pick off this base. Pick off at second. Pick off at third. You want to go. You want to go from the pitcher's perspective or the batter's perspective. Home plate is always X, or home plate is going to be. Triangle,
Right, right. Depends on the
point of view you want to take. It's a whole bunch of little things they do, but they'll teach you every step.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Played some more of that.
Yeah, I was playing more of that. A little more Diamond Dynasty mode. They gave the players a pack as an apology for all the network issues that's been going on.
Yeah.
A little free bundle up until May 19th, I believe. You can pick it up. So it's a bunch of packs, some items, and I think if you, I think gold level players in there that they let you pick up. So it's free. So pick it up before the 19th on.
I'm going there now to see if I can pick it up from the browser.
In game. I don't know if it was. I don't know if there's any outside way, but it was in game that I picked this up.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
Outside of that, more of R-type final. R-type final 2. Still unlocking ships throughout the game. And it's going to be a minute before I get everything unlocked in that title, but I don't mind that because the game is still fun playing that. Unfortunately, I found a ship today that I questioned the decision behind this. You know, in R-Type, there's a beam that you shoot, a full-powered beam that goes clear across the screen that takes out all the enemies in front of it.
Yeah, right.
Right. Typical fare in a side-scrolling shooter. This weapon has something called a pile bunker instead of a force beam. It's basically a spike that just pokes out in front of the ship. That's it. It's just a metal spike that pokes out in front of the ship. They say it's explosive, but I haven't seen anything explode when I hit the thing with this. It extends about an inch in front of the ship itself. So if you want to use this thing effectively, you're going to have to get real up close and personal to the enemy, which I don't want to do in this game at all.
Right.
Because it's R-type. Mm-hmm. You know, everything in there kills you. I don't want to get close to it to give it more opportunity to do so. But I tried this thing out, and I took out a boss battle with like 3 full-charged pokes with this thing. But I would never do it again. I think I'm going to stick with my grace note and have this long beam so I don't have to get close to these things anymore. But yeah, going out through the games, like I said, I'm just trying to find out ships, see what all these force units and missiles and bits and pieces can do, really. And I also found out today that there are multiple paths in this game. Apparently in Stage 5, there's a section where you have to pick your route, basically, for Stages 6 and 7. The first one I got to was the bad ending, basically. My ship got corrupted by the Bido, and now it was turned against the Earth's fleet near the end. So you had to fight Earth's fleet in that one when you had that bad ending. Another route I found was taking out a Bido core in this underground area with a bunch of ice surrounding the area, things like that. Had some very interesting enemies to go through with that. So that was Route 6.2, I believe. 6.2 and 7.2. I think the one that I had before was 6.0, so I have yet to find 6.1. And I think I'll have to pick the green orb to go that route. I'll have to find out when I go through the game again. But at this point, R-Type Final 2 is just all about discovering, unlocking things, and going through the process and unlocking every ship that I can in there. So far, I've only got 16 out of 99 ships, I think. So it's going to be a minute. It's some I have to pick up through going through certain areas that I haven't picked up yet. 6.1 and 7.1 stages, those stages, I have to go through that before I can even unlock the ability to buy those other ships in there. And then there's some with passwords that I don't know yet. So
it's available.
I have to figure out all those things out before I start unlocking more ships at a better rate.
It's available on the Switch.
What's that?
R-Type Final 2.
Yeah.
What are you playing? You're playing on
PS4? Playing on PS4. Yeah. And I bought the Season Pass on there as well. So it made a little extra homage to the older R-Type games. So there's a remake of older stages in there. Music as well. I believe they took music from R-Type Leo. And they made a remake of that stage, and the music is going. I can recognize it right off the bat when I started playing the stage. So more stages will come. They've only got 2 right now, but they're going to put more out there as time goes by. So yeah. I'll be able to play those and get more stuff and unlock more ships and try all of them out.
What else? Anything else?
That's it.
That's it.
MLB and R-Type Final. I did pick up Resident Evil Village, but I haven't had a chance to install it
yet. That's right. So, that came out Friday. Yeah,
that came out. Stuck up on me.
Yep.
Yep. So focused on MLB and R-Type that it's like, oh, by the way, 8's out.
It's weird. Oh. You know, back-to-back weeks. So Returnal, big release for Sony.
Yep.
Resident Evil Village, big release for everybody. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been a bad 2 weeks as far as game releases.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's
couple,
on the... A
couple of premium titles. Under the radar titles that came out as well.
Yeah. It really hadn't been that bad.
In April.
I know.
Early May. Nothing really...
Yeah, that's done
out,
it before. They did that, I want to say one of the, I think it was GTA 5 or GTA 4 mm-hmm. released in an April or May thing. Red Dead, no, not Red Dead 2. That was in October. There was another one that kind of released in the spring type, which was strange for it to be getting that. It was a pretty big title, and it got a spring release, and I can't remember what it was.
Or they just aim it to not compete with anything else, just have their focus all on them.
I mean, it's always a good thing, especially if a game is ready to go. And I'm mainly talking about Cyberpunk, which is, you know.
But that's usually the case now anyway. It's like we were talking about it in the chat room. You know,
honestly, I think if they had really taken their time with it and done what they needed to do, you'd probably be seeing it released this month or next month.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, Cyberpunk.
To give them more time to work, but they couldn't delay it anymore. They just couldn't do it. For me, it's just been Destiny, and again, I am just consistently surprised by how much I am getting done with not playing as much as I used to play. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. I don't know how that works. But yeah, we've come upon the last few days of the season. Brand new season starts Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So everything just goes back to... I would say everything goes back to zero, but because they're only increasing the levels by 10 this time, I'm going to already be at soft cap.
Yeah.
Once it resets. And then I'll get to pinnacle cap by just, you know, grinding out some stuff over the season. I'll be there in no time.
I'm going to have to start playing the show like you do Destiny.
Yeah.
It's a seasonal thing. So you get experience in the game. As you get more experience in the game, you will pick up more stuff. And you have certain things that you can get only during this, season, this inning.
Mm-hmm.
It says it's right now, it's second inning.
Oh, okay.
It's a second inning program right now. So as you get more experience, you get more stuff. I think it's up to 650,000 XP, and you get everything. But first inning, you had double XP. I don't know. I don't think it's double anymore. But you're going to have to play a lot of games to get that experience up. But fortunately, there's a whole bunch of options you can do. Play your moments. Play three inning games. Play online. Do little tasks, little things like that. There's a whole bunch of options you can do to get your experience as well as playing full games as well. So it's not impossible, but it's going to be a lot of play time you're going to have to put in.
Something I was going to mention. I know that, let's see, it all resets on Tuesday. Everything is back to zero. I'm trying to retrace my thought process. And I remembered. Next season, your favorite gun is coming back.
Which one? The Song of Justice?
Nope. I thought it was something else you enjoyed.
a scout rifle is what I've got. I've never...
Hung Jury. The scout rifle Hung Jury.
Never used it.
Really? I thought that was the one you really enjoyed.
The one I'm enjoying is the one I've still got, the Song of Justice.
Song of Justice, okay.
That's the only one I've ever had. I've never switched off that gun ever.
I thought you liked Hung Jury. I know I did.
You may have told me about Hung Jury, but I've never used it.
I love
Song of Justice is the only one I've ever used.
Yeah, Hung Jury from way back in the day.
See, my favorite is scout rifles, so.
It's a scout.
Yeah.
It is a, It is a scout. I'm looking at it here. It says it says it's already in the game.
Mm-hmm.
In Destiny 2. But anyway, from Destiny 1, they're bringing back Hung Jury. That's a fantastic gun. Loved it.
What's the range on it?
I don't know. It hasn't been released yet.
Oh,
they haven't put it out there. Mm-hmm. So it comes next season as a drop, and so Yeah, it's something we'll be farming, I'm sure, trying to get good rolls on and stuff like that. But yeah, so Destiny and I finished up Guardian Games. I finished up my seasonal challenges, which honestly, when I saw the seasonal challenges, if you can do 74 out of 76 of them, you've technically completed them all, mm-hmm. even though you haven't. But it allowed you to not do two of them and still be able to complete them. And so this morning I finished those up and got it done, and that was it. When I started that, when it first came out, and I looked at it and I said, well, I'll get some of these. I'm not going to be able to do all of this, but I'll get some of these things, and that's fine. I was completely accepted of the fact that, yeah, I'm not going to make that, you know? But I did. Without even realizing it, I totally did. I didn't even try really hard. It just happened as you play, you play. And then, of course, as you get down to it, there's ones you look at and you're like, okay, I need to go specifically go do this. You know, let's go ahead and knock this out. Let's go ahead and knock this out, you know. So, but amazingly enough, I got there with it. It was awesome. So, yeah, but that's all I played. We didn't have power. It was just Destiny, and I wasn't feeling very good. And so, and then everything else hit, and it was, oh, jeez. Yeah. I think it was Tuesday when I got in a lot of time with it. Tuesday afternoon before the storm hit. And then I remembered to turn off and unplug my PC.
Right.
I remember that. And I'm so glad that I did with everything that was going on. I'm so glad that I did. So, Drunk Degenerates, it doesn't have a way to call us anymore. Mm. He was using Gmail or something to call to do the phone through there, but it charges him now. I don't have it on, you know... I wonder if it would work with, I wonder if I could, you know, that may take some work, but I might could figure out how to put Zoom up there, and I can switch to a screen that'll have, you know, a Zoom thing in the corner so that whoever's calling in would be able to, we'd be able to see them and talk to them. That's an interesting thought. Huh. You know what? I might do that. I might try and figure out how to do that on this PC. So, yeah, we'll look at that. So, but yeah, if you want to email us or if you want to send in voicemails or something like that that we can play back over the air, we'd totally do that. And that way we could get your message and that stuff. So, what did you play, Wendy?
Animal Crossing. Oh. And I started on Layers of Fear.
Yeah.
But I didn't get very far.
Why?
Because of, you know, the storm. And then everything.
The storm or the controls?
No. You know, everything stopped for a while.
Yeah.
So I didn't have...
Well, I remember you saying something about, you know, I'm not used to the controls or something because it was the first person type, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the Edith Finch thing.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Though. Okay.
I'm getting better.
So you played Animal Crossing, but of course you had to take a loss on your
my turnips. I did, yeah.
Because you weren't able to check in on them and everything else. It was really tough there. I would bring, so we would charge our stuff overnight over battery packs that we had,
right?
And then I would bring the battery packs with me to work to mm-hmm. charge them again, so that when I got back home, we'd have something to power up our devices there. So that I could bring them back again the next day and charge them again for everything that was going on.
Lather, rinse, repeat.
It really was. Ooh, Drunk Degenerate says a Discord might work. That's a good idea. That's a great idea, actually. I'll set up a Discord on this thing and see if I can get that going. That'll be awesome.
I still got to familiarize myself with that.
It's pretty cool. You should. Especially when crossplay hits. And we'll talk about that, but especially when crossplay hits, because that'll be a good way for us to talk to you. Yeah. If we're able to play with you on PlayStation, you know, while we're on PC type stuff. But yeah. So yeah, Animal Crossing, Layers of Fear. Anything else?
That's it.
That's all?
Yeah.
All right. I think you're going to enjoy Layers of Fear.
I'm already enjoying
it. Yeah. I think when you get the controls down and you get good in that, yeah, I think you're going to really, really enjoy Layers of Fear. So we're at the top of the hour here. We're going to take another break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive into this Epic versus Apple stuff, because there's so much information that came from it. Not only just, I mean, even the start of it was, well, I'll tell you what happened with the start of it if you don't already know, but it was it really set the tone for how this was going to go. Mm-hmm. Two things that happened on the very first day of the court case. So we'll talk about that coming up. If you want to get in, call us 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. We're going to be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Music from a game called Before I Forget. I'm not exactly sure what that game is about. I think it is... I forgot. Oh, this says it's a song by Slipknot. About this game, a woman alone in a house, a mystery and a love story. Explore the present to uncover the past in a short story of love and loss. So, yeah.
I got some guesses what that means then.
Yeah. That's what you're going to hear right now. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Before We Leave. It's the main menu music, so I'm not exactly sure what it's about. It seems like it's about some kind of city management or some sort of management thing, and then you leave Earth.
Before We Leave is a nonviolent city-building game set in the cozy corner of the universe.
Okay.
Nurture your peeps and their surroundings while rebuilding and rediscovering civilization. Settle new lands and planets while avoiding hungry space whales.
Interesting. The music's kind of hooked me, so I'm kind of curious as to how the game is, you know? If I can find music from a game, this is interesting how it works, because I have to look up this music every time we do a show. I'm trying to find new music. I didn't know it got a beat installed into it. Jeez. A little Irish thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Is that Riverdance?
Gaelic? Or no, not Gaelic. Yeah, I don't know. A little bit of an Irish ditty. Mm-hmm. anytime music can hook me when I'm doing these things, I'm like, you know what, I should really look up and see what this game looks like, because the music's in my head, and I'm like, that sounds simplistic, or very simple, you know, a nice melody and rhythm, and I'm like, okay, well, let's see what this game kind of offers, because if that's relaxing, maybe the game is also relaxing, you know?
But then again, we do have games that has music that completely doesn't match the tone of the game at all.
Example?
Yeah. I'll give you some horror game, and you got some gentle music in that. Some things that just doesn't match up.
Oh yeah, you'll get the music box music, you know, the little thing like that. And if you put that in, if you can imagine yourself in a horror setting, of course it's very disturbing, you know, music box stuff. But if you imagine it in a completely different setting, it, you know, works the other way, depending on how it goes. So, So yeah, it's another one. We got Village Music coming up next. Resident Evil music coming up next. Speaking of horror,
yeah.
So that is that's on the way for the next break. Let's talk about Epic versus Apple. This is something that we started talking about last year, and now it has come to the court date. The court started this week, and I'm reading here from. In fact, let me just throw this link into our chat room. This comes from GameIndustry.biz. And they've got a recap, basically, of, like, here's everything we know so far from this Epic versus Apple thing. Now, I put a ton of stuff in our news feed, basically because day by day we would get these new updates of what was learned from this court case. Mm-hmm. And there was a ton of things, but this is a nice little condensed, like, here's everything we've learned so far, because it ain't even over with yet.
Yeah.
So I'll read you about the first day of the trial. The first day of the trial did not run entirely smoothly. This comes from that GameIndustry.biz thing. No, Tim Sweeney is not making any friends. It says, for one thing, on the technical difficulties, someone failed to mute all viewers on the conference call, reportedly leading to 20 minutes of a bunch of young fans calling for the courts to free Fortnite. Because everybody who was there, they didn't mute everybody who was on the conference call. They left it open. And so it was just
chaos.
Imagine having a bunch of people in an Xbox Live room way back in the day when that was not fun to do. Mm. I don't think it still is. But anyway, basically it was a bunch of randoms who were just going, oh boy. Anyway, so there was that. Then there were some documents that were related to the case that were not intended to be made public,
but they were
became public when they released them. The judge then said the following day that there was no point in resealing them after the leak.
Mm-hmm.
So those were exposed. And there was a lot exposed with that. Emails between Xbox and Epic. And Sony and Epic, a lot of emails there, which is why we found out a lot of stuff, because all of that got out into the open. Let's see. Tim Sweeney seems to think that Fortnite is a metaverse, not a game. It sounded like they were going to expand into player creating things where the players will be able to more of a creation thing, that it will be a competitive thing. The competitive thing, I think, will stay. But more of a creation thing, and how that was going to affect when Apple takes a cut of the profits and that sort of thing, and how that was going to affect them. So, Super Game Sniper says, I love how in the Epic versus Apple case, the question was raised, what is a Kotaku? Because there was an email from 2019 that was a reference with an article from that site. They didn't know what that was. It was just, it's a website. It's where I get a lot of the news that we run from. So, you know, don't ask what a Kotaku is. Just know that it's just a website. That's all you have to worry about.
And
it's a video game website.
It kind of says it all, though, don't it?
I guess so, yeah.
It says it all.
Talking about creators, with Apple taking 30% off the top, it makes it very hard for Epic and creators to exist in this future world as well. Let's see. Sweeney is unsure how an Epic win would impact non-gaming apps. The first day's discussion also covered the Epic Games Store, its business model, and whether or not it's profitable, something Apple called into question before the trial began. Sweeney confirmed that the store is hundreds of millions of dollars short of being profitable, but expects the game store to turn a profit within 3 or 4 years. Some of these things that were released revealed that Epic spent $146 million to get that Borderlands exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think there's one of them. I think Borderlands released in April or May of that year and then became available to everybody in like September, I think, wasn't it?
I don't even recall
I can't remember. Maybe it was in February and then it was going to be September. I'm not sure. They also spent $11.7 million on the games that they were giving away freely on a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
including, of course, the holidays when they were doing that as well. Fortnite generated more than $9 billion in the space of 2 years. That's amazing. Then there was the stuff with Sony. Some of the revelations from this case may not be specific to Apple and Epic, but have given more insight into certain behind-the-scenes agreements around the games industry. Perhaps the most interesting is the fact that Sony would only allow cross-play functionality between Fortnite players on PS4 and other platforms if it could charge Epic an additional royalty to offset the reduction in revenue. Rather than fighting that position as it has with Apple, the Fortnite firm instead agreed to do that. I don't know. I don't know. Do they do that with anybody else? Or is it just Sony? I don't know. I think it's just Sony. And yeah, there is a lawsuit from Sony's end because of a monopoly on digital purchases. Yeah, there is that one. I don't think I had that in our news stuff because there was just so much. It may be in there. It actually may be in there under this Apple stuff. Or I may have thought it was the same thing. I can't remember. No, there it is. Sony sued over PlayStation Digital Store monopoly. And just to kind of...
It wasn't a class action suit, was it? It was just
veer away from that. No, it's a class action status.
Status, okay.
For a new lawsuit that alleges Sony has an illegal monopoly over digital game purchases on its platform. Sony's monopoly allows it to charge supra-competitive prices for digital PlayStation games, which are significantly higher than their physical counterparts sold in a competitive retail market, and significantly higher than they would be in a competitive retail market for digital games. Lawyers claim the popular games sell for, on average, 75% more digitally on the PlayStation Store than those sold physically. That number could actually be up to 175% more at its highest, according to this lawsuit.
I'm going to need an example of that.
Let's see. The lawsuit was filed as Apple and Epic first part is partially funded by Sony. They've got the whole thing here. The plaintiff, yeah, they've got the whole lawsuit right here on Polygon. Mm-hmm. I'll throw this story in there as well for you guys to check it out if you wanted to see. And 75%. Read the complaint.
75%.
Is that what it says? Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
75% more digitally. But that number could be up to 175% more at its highest, according to the lawsuit. Sony made $17 billion in revenue over the fiscal year that ended back in March from digital PlayStation games and other content purchased on the PlayStation Network. Lawyers said that $7 billion of that $17 may be due to overcharging via the alleged monopoly on downloads from the PlayStation Store. So yeah, then there's that. What else did we learn? Oh yeah, Microsoft. Yeah, exactly. That's what Nabokov fan says. Basically, there's no stores to get games, so it's GameStop, Best Buy, Amazon versus PSN, Xbox Live. That's the breakdown, exactly. You can either go buy it physically or you can buy it digitally. Physically, you have options. Digitally, you actually still have options digitally because I know you can buy the digital versions of some of these. Yeah, well, I don't know about Sony games, but I know you can buy digital copies of games for Switch and I think for Microsoft, but and maybe for Sony as well, but maybe not first party. I'm not sure.
Maybe not.
I want to say I bought a code for a digital game for Sony from Amazon before, I think. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Now, that would have been a while ago. I don't know if they've stopped that or not. I'm not sure.
I think someone said they stopped it.
They may have. I mean, obviously, I can just jump over to Amazon real quick and check. Mm-hmm. The third day of the trial began with Microsoft's Vice President for Gaming, Media, and Entertainment on the stand. She discussed Microsoft's business model and was asked about the profitability of Xbox consoles. She confirmed that Microsoft does not and has never made profit from sales of its consoles. But added that the revenue from subscriptions and commission from digital sales, a 30% cut, by the way, which is the same as Apple, offsets this. Although, from what I understand, Microsoft's supposed to be changing that. And again, that's something we found out. Oh, that was on PC. The recent reduction in the Microsoft Store's commission on PC from 30% to 12%. She reiterated that, as Microsoft has stated, there are no plans to adopt this model on its consoles. So, It's worth noting that Wright moved to Microsoft's gaming business in October. Wright also discussed the troubles Microsoft has encountered bringing its games streaming service, Project xCloud, to iOS. Last summer, it emerged that Apple significantly limited the test and ultimately rejected the app, claiming its security policies required all games to be reviewed individually. Microsoft has since found a workaround, running xCloud as a browser web app as well. Microsoft pops up elsewhere in the documents released around the trial as an email chain reveals that Sweeney tried to get the company to remove the requirement for an Xbox Live Gold subscription when it came to free-to-play multiplayer games, in time for Fortnite's removal from the store. Xbox eventually dropped this restriction last month, but Tim Sweeney asked Phil Spencer directly if it could be tied in with certain plans the Fortnite firm had for August, ones that would provide an extraordinary opportunity to highlight the value proposition of consoles and PCs in contrast to mobile platforms and to onboard new console users, that is all in quotes. Spencer declined, to which Sweeney responded that the Xbox boss would enjoy the upcoming fireworks show. On the fourth day of the trial, an Epic Games executive revealed the success of Fortnite had prompted requests from the Federal Trade Commission over privacy practices. He confirmed that he was asked about the security of customer information, also asked about whether there had been issues surrounding the improper collection of data from players under the age of 13, but further details were discussed in a sealed session. That is your Epic versus Apple rundown of what's going on. So there you go. Reading back over these, let's see, that's very honestly, Amazon makes it so hard to buy anything and know what you're getting. Super Game Sniper says, that seems suspicious. Ironically, though, the sales of the Xbox One aren't great in places like Japan. Lethal Migraine, Japanese by Japanese. Xbox has never sold well there. You're right.
Yeah, they haven't.
Nintendo has done well there. Sony has done well there. Microsoft has never done well.
Microsoft has just never had good luck and good fortune in Japan.
No.
In their consoles. They never have.
Never in the East. It's always been...
Did it even reach the level of a niche over there?
Maybe the 360.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But not really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Non-profitable? No. As far as the Japanese market? No. I don't think they've ever been profitable over there. Now, if they get a good... Well, I was going to say a good Japanese game to be released over there, but they don't even have Japanese studios. Unless they bought one, I'm not sure. I don't know that they do have a Japanese studio. Hmm. I don't think they do. Yeah, they've always been real tight with Kojima. I just want to say that. I know Sony has been... Well, see, Sony was only tight with Kojima through Konami. That was the only way that was going on. Because I remember when they had Kojima come out on stage at E3 for Microsoft, and we were all kind of, you know, jaw on the floor type stuff.
Yeah.
Because they were going to be getting, is it Revengeance? Metal Gear Solid Revengeance?
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid Revengeance.
Or yeah, whatever it was. I think they were going to be getting that as maybe a timed exclusive or something. Mm-hmm. Yep, they've tried. Blue Dragon, I think, did great for them. Eternal Sonata was another great one, and Lost Odyssey, of course. They tried really hard with those, and I want to say there was another one that they tried with, and I think did okay with, but yeah, got them there a little bit. So,
Tango?
I'm not familiar with.
It's an old article from March 12th. Xbox calls Tango acquisition a great step in expanding its studios in Japan.
Okay.
So, Tango is the Ghostwire Tokyo and Evil Within developer founded by Shinji Mikami.
Lethal Migraine
is that. Director of Resident Evil.
Yeah, Tango Gameworks. Okay. Yeah, that's good to know.
Tango is now officially an Xbox first-party developer. The completion of a Microsoft $7.5 billion acquisition this week. Yeah.
Wonder what they're working on.
Mm.
And also, what style, you know. In fact, because the ones Thar listed there, Lost Odyssey, Blue Dragon, Eternal Sonata, are all basically the same gameplay style. It's all that turn-based RPG stuff.
Mm-hmm. JRPG?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, JRPG.
You know? And I don't know, obviously it's in the name, Japanese RPG. I get that. But what else, what is a niche there that, or what is a genre there that is also popular outside of that? Because you don't hear anything else. Oh, it's a Japanese racer. Oh, it's a Japanese... you probably could find a Japanese horror section. But Japanese RPG, oh, it's a Japanese action game. I don't know. Which I guess that's what the sequel to Judgment is going to be. But that's Sega. That's not Sega, Microsoft. Yeah, we'll see what we get from E3 this year. Yeah. Anime stuff like Tales. So. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our next break, and then when we come back, we'll go over the rest of the news here that we have, which we missed most of it last week, but yeah, we'll go over that. I didn't talk about Xbox. What do we have? The whole Discord with PlayStation thing, Google Stadia as well, Dead Island 2. There's a lot of stuff in here. So, yeah, we just mentioned the Judgment sequel. Humble Bundle, just a follow-up to what happened last week. That's all coming up. We got music here from Resident Evil Village. It is the main hall theme is what this is. Game came out just yesterday, I believe. And I've heard a lot of good things about it. If you like 7, you'll like this one. I've heard they toned it down a bit because... They toned something down a bit because people said 7 was too scary, and so they toned down the... I don't know.
As long as it's not difficult.
I don't play the game, so I don't know if it's...
Game is too scary.
It was just a little thing I read. I'd have to go back and find it. I didn't save it because I thought, that's an odd
Resident
statement.
It's Resident Evil.
I get it. I know. But anyway. Okay. Yeah, so I know 4, from what I understand, 4, out of all of them, I was more interested in 4 than anything else. If I go back and can remember my, not necessarily hype level, but my interest in the Resident Evil series, mm-hmm. 4 was the only one that actually interested me on a level of, I'd like to play that. Now,
I want to say 4 got, I think Resident Evil 4 was a point where it started getting more action horror.
I just enjoyed the fact that it was not dealing with zombies anymore. I mean, maybe it was, but it was dealing with these just
fast zombies,
crazy backwoods people thing. You know what I'm saying?
These ganados.
Yeah. They're like just kind of
zombies, but faster. Yeah.
What's that movie where they're not necessarily zombies, but they just turn into murderers? Like, it's not called Wrong Turn. I used to work at a movie store, and I can remember the cover on the box was a pitchfork. It's not The Strangers. Man, I can't remember.
That'll come to you.
But it was like a virus that was going through town, and it didn't turn them into zombies.
Major Violent.
Yeah, it just made them really like, I'm just going to kill them. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not going to eat you, just going to kill you. Yeah. So I can't remember. But yeah, anyway, this is the main hall theme from Village. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In Game Chat. Music here from Terminator Resistance, which I guess came out recently. Mm-hmm. It was on the list of games that came out recently. So I tried to find music, and there it is. But of course, this is what you get when you have a Terminator game. You're going to get the music from Terminator, of course.
Yeah. It's like a game. It's like you made a game about Jaws. You know exactly what you're getting music-wise.
And we heard the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone real quick and talk to Pratt Vegas. Hi, Pratt Vegas.
Hey.
Thanks for waiting on the line there, by the way.
Oh, no problem. I think the movie was called The Crazy.
It was. Somebody mentioned that in the chat room, and yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because that didn't deal with zombies, right? It just dealt with them kind of going nuts and wanting to kill people.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, so that's what that was. And exactly that's what Resident Evil 4 Village felt like to me. You're not dealing with, you know, Raccoon City zombies again. You're dealing with just a village full of crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I had a question.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your question?
I have an old PS2 that I've had forever and a day, and it died last year. Do you know, or does anybody know somebody that works on them, or I can get another one?
We don't know of any. So here's the thing. So Wendy took your call earlier, found out what you needed. And I was like, me and RJ off air were asking ourselves, like, we knew there used to be a guy on this show, Jeremy, who used to do that stuff, had a shop here in town mm-hmm. where you could bring the consoles and he would fix them if he could try to. He would even mod them for you. And you know,
yeah.
I remember that because that was a big thing. You put a chip in the thing and then you can put all these different games on it and mm-hmm. play it. You can also play games from other regions and all this other stuff. He had this. It was a great little store. But that he doesn't do that anymore. The store's not around anymore. We couldn't think of a place where you could go and do that and get it fixed. Now, your other question, where you can get another one. The only thing I can think of is check your GameStops for the used. Mm-hmm. Hit up. Do they still put out the bulletin board?
Maybe online.
Maybe online. Yeah, remember
because I haven't seen a physical.
I haven't seen
copy
a physical
that,
bulletin board in a long time.
A very long
I don't know
time.
If you know what I'm talking about, Pratt Vegas, but it used to be this.
Right, I do.
Yeah, man. That's where I found like getting my Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. I would look up in the billboard billboard or bulletin board.
Bulletin board. Yeah,
billboard's what we use music here.
Right,
but
between wife and I, we've got everything from. Nintendo, Super Nintendo, GameCube, Xbox, all that junk on up, but my PS2 died on me.
Well, the only other thing I can think to tell you, and you said your name's Pratt Vegas, so you probably know of this store. Maybe you don't. Are you familiar with Retro Game Planet?
Yes, but I've never been in there.
Give them a shot,
man. I normally don't have the time.
Well, Rustin runs the place. Great guy. And I'm sure that he is probably going to be your best bet at finding a PlayStation 2. In fact, do you know what the problem might be?
It quit spinning. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. I don't know. It quit spinning. Okay, so it's not spinning the. Well,
CD motor may have just died on there.
Possibly, but yeah. There could be other things involved that would. It may not recognize that a disc is in there.
Mm-hmm. Then the laser, right. Well, be the laser messed up on that case.
This is a this particular one came out. It's like the second gen, an early version of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, they probably. My guess would be that they would have them. They are highly active on Facebook, and you know you can call them as well. If you want to, and find out if they've got one, and then find out what the price is, and then maybe find out if they can do something with yours.
Sounds good. Thanks.
So there you go. I'm glad we could help. Thanks for calling, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care now.
Bye.
Hey, Master Thespian, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I've got a couple more options for your previous caller.
Okay, good. I'm hoping he's still listening. That's the reason we put it out there, in case somebody knew and could call in. But go ahead.
Yeah. There's a shop next to the Eastdale Flea Market, or the Eastdale, whatever they call that, the the antique mall, whatever.
Oh, is that Game?
I think it's called Game On.
Right. I know the one you're talking about.
The only problem is I don't know if he tests those units. I'm assuming he does, but I don't know. But you can usually get one for an old PS2 for a pretty good price. But
yeah.
Again, it's used, so you're kind of rolling the dice on whether it's going to work or not. Same thing is true for eBay. Sometimes you can get a good deal on eBay, but again, you're getting a used system. They sometimes have new ones, but they're going to be astronomical. We're talking hundreds of dollars for.
Yeah, there is. There's another place I forgot to mention, and I don't even know if this place is still open. I think they tried to open either last year or the year before, and then of course the pandemic came, and I don't know what happened to them or if they were able to survive. It's over there by. I think it's over by Faulkner, across the street from Faulkner.
Game Exchange.
Game Exchange.
Yeah, they're open. They're open again. So you may check over there. I don't know what they have in the way of used systems, but I think they do dabble on that.
Yeah, I've actually never been in the place, so I have no idea. But I would. I know it's used and that sort of thing, so he may be able to find something there.
They do deal with used systems, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they can repair what he's got, but I think he's got plenty of options when it comes to just getting another system if he needs to.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes hitting a flea market, not a flea market, a yard sale, you can find it. You know, somebody's not using it anymore, and they're like, what's this on the shelf? And, you know, you might find a good deal. So,
that is true.
Good luck.
Well, thank you for calling in, Master Thespian.
Y'all be good now.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll find some, there's some gems out at yard sales, man. I told you about what happened with this one friend of mine who found some Black Label Castlevania Symphony of the Night at a yard sale. Got four copies of them, but those things are worth. She sold them for like $5-6 a pop, but they were worth on eBay much, much more than that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. She just didn't know what she was selling.
I don't know if Pratt Vegas is still listening, but Super Game Sniper says probably needs a cleaning. The fan might have been clogged with dust and overheated. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I didn't ask him is how well do you take care of them? Because if it is messed up in there, that'll be the first thing. But basically, you want to take a nice can of compressed air and just spray in there as much as you can to kind of get it out.
I've seen some cleaning videos of some consoles that really weren't taken care of. Yeah. It's going to need more than a spray can.
Oh, please. We got plenty of horror stories from Jeremy.
Yeah, man.
Jeremy had tons of horror stories. The worst came from people who smoked.
Smoking was the biggest one that he was talking about.
And then I know he cracked open one and it had like these spiders, just a lot of spiders and spider webs inside.
Smoking and infestation, I'll put it that way.
Basically.
That's a good way to put it. Sometimes a combination of both.
Yeah, and people would still bring in their, could you fix this? And we're like, man.
I don't know what the problem is.
Why did you let it get this way? I know, right?
Yeah.
It's like when I was going around trying to find people to cut my yard, and I was like, why did you let it get this way? It's ridiculous. Yeah, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yeah, Game Sniper said in the chat room, he's seen all sorts of nasty stuff about that on YouTube. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is one, man. Yeah. It's a bad when you need more than an air can to get the dust out of there, man. It's just bad.
Going back to Humble Bundle, we talked about last week where they kind of removed the option for either how much you could give to charity. They said, well, now a cut of this has to go to either us or the developers, I think.
Yeah.
And so you can't give all of it to charity. They have now reversed course on that.
Yeah.
And they've put everything back the way it was after after everybody really was upset about that. They changed course, which is fine. I'm glad that they can do that. I don't feel bad about that. That's good. That a company is like, good, you know, we'll change that back. They never should have done it in the first place, rather than stick with it, they saw people upset about it and said, fine, we'll flip it back.
We'll just have to find another way to have to stay funded.
Right, exactly. They're either going to do that or just later on down the line be like, okay, we're going to secretly do this again. Let's see if we can get away with it again.
Either way, bottom line, they will find a way.
I'm sure.
Or shut down, one of the two.
Ubisoft has announced that the Division Heartland will be a free-to-play game. I liked some of what I played of the Division. I had some issues with it. Division 2, I enjoyed that. Really didn't have a lot of issues with it, except I had a few little hang-ups on PC because I was playing it there. But I kind of liked the Division 2. I just didn't have a lot of people I knew who were playing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who would talk about it and wanted me to get into it, but I just couldn't.
Yeah, me and Random on PC, me and him got into it for a little bit and played some of it, and then, you know, just kind of fell off our radar. Or other things came in, and it's like, okay, well, going back to what I was playing, basically Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what free-to-play is, man. Teaming with microtransactions, you know? I talked about this last week, or the week before, when I was talking about playing Rocket League.
Yeah.
You know, and realizing that...
Oh, I still got to make it account for that, yeah.
You know, it was kind of a... And I know people argue this, and that's why we have opinions on these things, but it feels like a one-trick pony type thing. It's like, here's what you'll do, and you will do this in every single match. This is what you'll do. You'll drive around, you'll hit a ball, you'll get some boosts, and maybe some, I don't even know if you get power-ups in some of the other things. I know I saw power-ups being used in some things where your car becomes spiky or you're able to attach to the ball because of that. And that may be in, like, non-competitive play or something. I'm not sure. But I've seen those power-ups.
Okay. It's been a while since I played. You may be onto something because I never saw that. But I've been playing it since it was free
from Psyonix. Yeah, so. These were new. These power... And they're not things you pay for. It's just kind of like you would... It's almost like Mario Kart power-ups. You'd run over the thing and it'd give you some random thing that would either magnetize yourself to the ball... Have the ball stick to your car, grapple hook the ball, missiles where you could shoot other players or something.
Okay, last time I played, the only option you had for attacking a...
Was
a
running into them at boost.
At full boost.
Yeah.
Into them. That was
and honestly, when I was playing that time, that Sunday, when I played a bunch of rounds, no, I didn't get any kind of special power-ups. Yeah, it was just boost the entire time. So
just,
that may be in private matches or some other kind of match. I'm not sure. But yeah, what I noticed about it was that there was nothing, I think there was a ton of stuff I could buy and a ton of stuff I could subscribe to, but none of what they got me would make me any better.
Yeah.
It was not pay to win. Not that I'm looking for pay to win, but because it was not pay to win and because it was so, this is what you'll do. You know, I got bored with it. There's a lot of free to play. Like I can remember going to, oh man, what's one of the first games I ever bought on my phone?
Was that Pac-Man game?
No. It was
a puzzle game.
No. It was The Simpsons, and you built Springfield, and you could build the town, and all this other stuff. But of course, you'd start on a building. It's like, well, it's going to take 24 hours this building to do, or you can pay money to speed it up.
Okay,
you know
that type.
But the thing was, is that sure, I could do this stuff and then wait for it to finish and complete, but I had all these different things. And yeah, I was still going to be building and doing this and adding into this and doing that, but it was a creative thing and it was fun to do. I could lay out the map of how I wanted to do it. Yeah, Tapped Out. Simpsons Tapped Out is what I was playing. Even Warframe. Let's look at Warframe, which is also free to play. Yeah. A lot of different stuff to do. A lot of different guns to go through and enemies and things like that that do have a, you know, the guns have different feels. It's not all the same thing. The bows are different. All this stuff you can have different.
Yeah, but it's the bows, man.
Yeah. Everything has a different feel to it.
Yeah.
Rocket League doesn't have any of that. It is just the simple three players versus three players. Get the ball into the goal. That is it.
Yeah.
Some of the settings change. Your cars looks different, but it doesn't play any different. It doesn't move any different. It all does the same thing.
It was kind of like I was saying earlier, but it's a sport title. It's the same game, different result, just how you get there.
Yeah, and I'm not making a case against it. I'm just this is what I came away with. It. I know that there's a huge
following
contingent of people who play that game, who love that game, who compete in that game, who do professional playing of that game. You know, they've got their e team, their esports going on with that game. And I'm sure it's probably fascinating to watch. But for me, it was like, you know, I wasn't, after five matches, I was like, man, I am done. I'm good. Mm-hmm. If I come back to this, it'll be a week later to play about five more matches before it hits me again of like, okay, I'm done again. Because it yeah, feels
because, if, yeah because a game like Rocket League yeah. You're gonna need more than five games to get
yeah.
effective.
It feels it, it feels
takes time it takes
yeah,
time to play that.
It feels same effective in it is what I'm saying. And yeah. I know you can look at some of the games that I've talked about that I've enjoyed and say you're basically saying the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. you're doing the same thing. You could look at Destiny and be like, well, that's samey as well. It's you're going through and you're shooting.
It's samey, but you're having fun with it.
It's just different, you know?
You're having fun with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. But I don't always have to play the same thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We can run a strike, or we can go in competitive, or we can go to Gambit, or I can do some story missions, or I can run, you know, there's plenty of things to do. In Rocket League, it's like, nope, here's the next stadium, here's the next team, go.
Well, in Rocket League, it's just basically this, win or loss.
And
you
want
to win more than lose.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's
and so
it.
I'm not complaining. Again, I'm not saying that's bad for the game. I'm just saying that this is what I came away with when I was playing it, and that's kind of why it fell off the map for me. Mm-hmm. Wasn't holding my attention beyond, like, five matches. Mm-hmm. Even less than that, if I wasn't winning those matches, then it's like, ugh, never mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We haven't done a chat room roll call, have we? I just realized that with TYTDL. Who we got in here? 2020 is in there. Well, that's not good news, considering 2020 was a horrible year. AC Wraith.
2021 is better.
Yeah.
It's still early.
In ways, it's better, but yeah. Although after the damage to the house and everything from the mm-hmm. storms, 2020 not looking too good. Or 2021. Look, all I can say is 2020. That's a conflicting year for me. Because of the Wendigo who's sitting right over here, but also because that's the year I had my heart attack. That's
some
the year
good,
I
mostly bad.
Yeah, that's the year I got COVID. Which everybody, you know, around here got COVID and stuff. Or you know, plenty of people got COVID and got it a lot worse than what I did. But yeah, and then 2021 rolls around and storm damage now is what we're working on. So yeah, 2020 was bad in some ways, was good in others.
Mm-hmm.
Commander Roots, Discord for streamers. Okay. Drunk Degenerates, Lethal Migraine, Moltile. Hey, Moltile's in there. I missed him. Nabokov Fan 87, Steven Van Dam, streamers on Discord. Discord for streamers on Discord. Streamers Discord community. Yeah, we do have
we have bots.
Super Game Sniper 9, SZ3TH. Could you give me a pronunciation, sir?
Just call him Seth.
Should we call him Seth? Okay.
I'm just guessing at this
point. Seth, maybe? I don't know. The Wendigo. And 204, who is in there as well. So, did I miss a good show? Every show is a good show. So you missed it. No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. Every show is not a good show. So, 2020 was a dumpster fire. It's more like a trash can fire now. See, that's for you. There were different. See, things happened in my life in 2020 that were both good and bad. You know, and I got to figure. And the good obviously kind of outweighs the bad, but the bad was pretty bad. The bad was really bad. The good is sitting in this room, which is why I don't want to say anything different than that.
Mm-hmm.
The bad is also sitting in this room, and it's my body. My body was bad to me in 2020. I was bad to it for many, many years.
Ever?
Yeah, well, you know, basically, since I was capable of grabbing food and also making the choice to not do anything about it, I've been horrible to my body. My body has looked at every year saying, it's a bad year. It's a bad year. It's a bad year. Then it had a heart attack, and it's like, this year's a little bit better because I've started taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Since my heart attack, I've lost 52 pounds.
Nice.
So, and I'm continuing to do that. I'm doing 2 miles a day, like not this week, obviously, because of situations with mm-hmm. getting sick and then also, you know, being without power for 2 days and all of that stuff. So, yeah, it's this week has not been good. I'm probably going to get up in the morning and do my walking again, 2 miles a day, and get that in. So,
is that a walk through the neighborhood?
It's a walk through the neighborhood. Yeah, it's in the neighborhood. I've kind of mapped it out, but you know, everything tells me I finish off my exercise ring here, and it shows that I walked like 2-point-something-odd miles.
Yeah,
and that the time on that gets quicker and quicker. And of course, I also put in a little jog and run in there while I'm doing mm-hmm. it, you know, intermittently. So get the heart rate going and get it nice and pumping. And
you got one route or multiple routes?
One route.
One route.
Yeah, it's one single route. I can reverse it or, you know, reverse that because there really is no forward. But yeah, so there's different paths I can take on the route.
Yeah.
But I usually stick to this one and it gets me. I'm a fan of not. You ever play those little games where it's like, trace this, but don't cross your lines, you know?
I've seen those before.
Where it's like, hit all of these dots, but don't overlap your lines.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the same, my head works that way when I develop a path.
Yeah.
It's like, let's do as much as we can, but without going down the same street twice, you know, or as little as possible. It's, I'm weird like that.
So, yeah, I was just saying, like, change up your routes and everything to get a little more variety, whatever, or difficulty or whatever.
Yeah, I try to find, so it's a zigzaggy thing, but I never overlap that I can think of. I think with the exception of one situation, I think we overlap, but that's about it.
Super Game Sniper says, gamer mentality, no backtracking.
Yeah, that's really it. No backtracking is exactly what it is. So that's how it works out. Let me see if I can hit some real quick other things here. There may be a redesign on the PS5 hardware, but that'll be in 2022. Dead Island 2 is going to be an Epic Store exclusive, and then possibly the next Saints Row game will be one as well. The Witcher 3 director has left CD Projekt Red after workplace bullying. There's an investigation on that. Google Stadia's head of product left the company, and then six additional staff members also left Stadia as well. That's a man.
Voluntarily?
Google going to kill that quick.
Voluntarily?
Yeah, they all left voluntarily. Okay. Yeah. They went and joined a different studio. But yeah, there's for all the things that Google has killed off in their time, I think Stadia will be one of the fastest that will probably get killed off.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know how Google is, man. The stuff that works, they want to kill off. The stuff that doesn't, they kind of let linger, and then they find out, it's later on they come to the conclusion of, yeah, let's go ahead and kill that after the public has already said, yeah, is that thing still around?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. And then Nintendo announced a new game, but man, I don't think we have time to go into the details. It's basically a game that lets you build games. Game Builder Garage is what it's called. And I'm going to hold on to that story so maybe we can get to that next week. Although you're not going to be here next week, right?
No.
All right. And Matt can't make it next week either. Get ready to talk, Wendy. Well, it helps when I have your mic on. Yeah, exactly. maybe that's when I'll set up the Discord thing. That'll be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll give it a little test of Discord. Anyway, we do have to go. Want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. Everybody who called, thank you so much. Pratt Vegas, I hope you can figure out your issue with the PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to join us on Discord. We're out there. You can find that at our website. Go to ingamechat.net and find our Discord. Join it. It's likely something we may use for the show, actually. Might have a room there where we can bring you guys in and talk to us and ask us questions. Oh, this is a great idea. I'm starting to brainstorm. This is fantastic. This is great. So, yeah, I'm getting some ideas here. Anyway, you guys have a great one. Music here is from Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which comes out next Friday. And this track is called Resynthesis. How is it different from Mario Maker? I'm not sure. I'm going to get into it later. But, yeah, this is called Resynthesis. We'll be back next week. Have a great one. Goodbye.